Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان أكثر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثهم في الأميين رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن ويخرجهم من الظلمات للنور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك أما بعد ألم تر إلا الذين حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبحت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين صدق الله العظيم. This is the 258th ayah of the second surah of the Quran, the fourth of a set of four verses that we began this series, The Nature of Truth and Reality. And this is the eighth installment of that subject. An expression of it is, have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given him kingship? That is, the one who was arguing with Abraham had been given kingship by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death. He said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings the sun from the east, so bring it from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. And surely Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, we're speaking and addressing the subject of the nature of truth and reality. And truth and reality, we come to the understanding, and Allah knows best. Truth and reality for human beings is all about Abraham. And with Abraham, in this connection, it's about arguing, but not just arguing the way we commonly understand that term when it's used. We mean by it, and the Quran means by it, reasoning systematically, using your reasoning, but using your reasoning systematically. It's very, very important. Just looking at the time that we're in and this time of information overload, this time of fake news, this time of everybody being able to put their opinions and information out there, crafted and formed and shaped in whatever way they desire. Some people are very artistic and, very liberal in the way that they treat facts and information. And if you don't enter that jungle, I'll call it, of information with the capacity to reason systematically, it's more than likely you're going to be lost in more ways than one. So it is understood that, it should be understood, that there is no reason for positions or a pre-existing frame of reference. Everybody that looks at every set of facts, they come to that set of facts with their own frame of reference. And that frame of reference is that by which they evaluate and they decide what is true, what is not true. And one thing to be understood about that fact of human beings, which is also a part of our subject, we need to understand a way to understand the truth must include the way human beings relate to truth. And one of the ways that human beings relate to truth is every human being comes with their frame of reference, and no matter what is said to that human being, whatever is said or whatever is brought as facts to them is going to be evaluated based on the frame, not something independent and separate. Is going to be based on that frame. So whatever fits the frame for the common human being, whatever fits the frame, that's what's true. Whatever doesn't fit the frame, that's what's not true. It doesn't matter if in the final analysis what was rejected by one frame, that it was true or not. What matters is the frame of reference that the individual had when that fact came to them or they brought their frame of reference to that fact. That's what we have to understand. Because it saves you a lot of time and energy. You know, save you a lot of emotional distress. It'll save you a lot of heat. Because that's your frame of reference. If that's your frame of reference, and I just gave you the facts, but since those facts don't fit your frame of reference, therefore it's rejected. And again, he can use what I said against you. Your enemy can say, well, yeah, it just doesn't fit your frame of reference. That's why you reject it. I told you the truth, and you reject that frame of reference. So it's like with the one who's arguing with Abraham, that he is prototypically a model of being in that situation, right? Which is what? Somebody who says, okay, you say this is true, I say that is true, right? Well, you have to be able to, inshallah, that is, the success is only going to be achieved when you're able to take them out of the argument. You're able to take them out. And what did Allah tell us, and what did he show us by Abraham? What's the best way to do that? Well, the best way to do that is look at nature. What does nature say? Because nature is communicating. Nature is talking. That is language. The sun rising and setting, that's language. The night and day, that's language. Every day, everything. The seasons changing and everything else natural is an ayah. Everything else natural is language. So your argument, if you can incorporate in your argument what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done in creation, which is something that cannot be tampered with by man, not nature. Matter can be tampered with by man, i.e., meaning that whatever, it doesn't matter. Every element, think about the elemental chart, anything that is comprised of anything that's made up of any of those elements can be touched and influenced and impacted by man. Okay? However, that's not the nature of whatever that is. Doesn't matter. Whatever. Beryllium, whatever. I don't even know if there's such an element. But the point is that beryllium is whatever beryllium is, but you can't change the nature of beryllium. Beryllium does have that. Now, that you can name it. Oh, we discovered this element that does X, Y, Z, Z, Y, X. And we're going to call it beryllium because brilliant that we discovered it, and so therefore it's called beryllium now. All right, that's fine. Change the nature of beryllium. You named it, but change the nature of beryllium. You can't change the nature of beryllium. Okay. So that's also, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe. And Allah knows best, telling us, all right, you, in order to get to the bottom of it, in order to get to what's foundational, in order to get to what is called in science and philosophy, the irreducible, you've got to, there's nothing behind, there's nothing after this, You can talk about the matter, and you can talk about the nature of matter. The next thing behind the nature of matter is the will of the one who created it. Allah created what we have as nature by his will. He originated it from nothing. Nobody can get behind that. Allah is al-Fatir. Allah is the one who originates everything. Alhamdulillah. So your argument, as we said in the very beginning of this series, it has to start with Allah. Whatever your argument, you got a political argument, start with Allah. You don't have to start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. No. Just in your thinking, in your reasoning, the cornerstone of your reason, the cornerstone of your position, you should start from the perspective that I'm speaking as one who believes in Allah and in Allah as he describes himself, in Allah as he reveals himself. Now start your argument from there. If you start from anything else, you can start from Hobbes and Jefferson or Nietzsche or Descartes or Socrates. Wrong start. Wrong start. You've got to start with La ilaha illallah. Now, that parade of individuals and their ideas, et cetera, that ideas that are tied to them, you can bring those. You can bring them, but they come as witnesses to the case that began with La ilaha illallah, mashallah. All right. So we in our last segment, we read through the story of Abraham and the smashing of the idols and his leaving the axe on the big one. And they asked him, did you do this? He said, well, somebody did it. Ask the big one. You know, he's got the axe. You know, he ask him. He said, well, you know, these elements can't speak. Effectively, he could have said, I rest my case. But Abraham simply said, do you worship then besides Allah things that can neither be of any good to you, nor do you harm? That is, these things, it's like you chop the tree down, go to where the tree is, chop the tree down, carve the image out of the tree, and then set the tree up, that image that you crafted out of the tree that you chopped down, and then you bow down to it and worship it. As though it has a life of its own, as though it can do something for you. You created it. You created it. It didn't create you. You created it, and then you worship it. You serve it. It's crazy. And this is why the Quran also says, who is it that turns away from the religion of Abraham except the one that makes himself a fool? That is foolishness. MashaAllah. I'm not going to get to the crazy moment, but just by mentioning it, use that as an example. Is every word has a narrative behind it. If you say something, then there's a whole network of meaning. There's a whole field of understanding. There's a whole narrative behind that. Crazy has a reality, right? And those who know what that word means when you say it, Well, then it embraces, it brings about everything that it's talking about. And that's the kind of scenario that we are in and have been in since the time of these religious icons. And let me mention this. Look, well, you study, look it up, whatever, a cursory. You know, when I say study, I think the word study is like, I'm not, no, you don't have to study it. Just look up iconoclast, iconoclast, iconoclasm, icon, iconoclasm. Look that up in the church. Just look up iconoclastic period in the church. And what you will find is that images and idols in the church, and we know that the Bible tells us that it should not, there should be no graven images, right? Well, then how did all these graven images get in the church? If the Bible says they shouldn't be, how did they get into the church? That's something you got to think about. Right? Y'all just hate the church. No, the Bible said they shouldn't be there, right? So the idea is the same in the story of Abraham. And now, simply put, which one of those idols and images that are there is the biggest one? Which one is the biggest one? I think you go to Rio de Janeiro, you get to see what I'm talking about. Now, wouldn't that be something? Man. Inshallah, that day is going to come, inshallah. All right. What it is, I've got nothing but love for my Christian brothers and sisters who are sincere in their worship of God and who believe that their worship of God is pure. May Allah reward you. May Allah guide you to the best. But our reasoning remains the same, and it has a basis in the Bible. All right, so then Abraham says, see on you and upon the things you worship besides Allah, don't you have intellects, mashallah. Such a tempting bit of humor there, but it's too profane to mention. It has something to do with the horse you rode in on, I don't know. In any case, so the idea is, he said, feed on you. Now, what does that sound like? Somebody, if you saw somebody, you're driving down the street, and they're mad at you, they're upset with you, and they just said, feed on you. Do you think is that what they would say in the hood? Okay. You work the rest of the logic of that out, because that's what Abraham said to us. That's what Abraham, and that's what that actually means. It's a curse. He said, a curse on you. All right. So then they said, burn him, your gods, if you do anything at all. And then Allah says in the Quran, he says, we said, O fire, be cool and peace for Abraham. It put some heat on him, but that fire is made cool by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Abraham. And it's a statement to those who follow the millat Ibrahim, the way of Abraham. Be cool. Be cool. If you lose your cool, it means you've lost your form. You lose your cool, you lost your form. And if you lose your cool, quote unquote, in an argument, you lose the argument. Doesn't matter if what you're saying is truth, it doesn't matter if you're saying is facts, doesn't matter if it fits your frame, their frame, whatever, you lost your cool. You lost your cool. That's the victory, is in not losing your cool. You know, these boxing images come to mind, right? Our brother, you know, Mike Tyson, he lost his cool when he was boxing. Y'all remember that moment? Again, there's a narrative that goes with that, right? You remember a moment when Mike Tyson lost his cool in the boxing ring. Man, that was not cool. I mean, literally, you say, man, that was not cool. Why? Because he lost his cool, okay? When you lose your cool, you lose the battle. And that's the thing, the shaitan main thing he wants you to do is lose your cool, especially if you got the best argument. You got the best argument, and we talked about Muhammad Ali. Yeah, you might have more skills. You might have more reach. You might have more weight. You might have more fights under your belt, whatever you got. I'm going to make you lose your cool. When you lose your cool, you're done. Because when you lose your cool, you lose your beta ability. You know, and beta is spelled B-E-T-A, and it's the ability to use your abilities. When you lose your beta abilities, you lose your abilities. It's called being flooded. When you get flooded, then you drowned out all of the potential, all of the skill set, all of your abilities. They die in the flood. It's a, and sticking with a biblical metaphor, picturing of it, it said it won't be the water, but the fire next time. Right? It won't be the water, but the fire next time. So the water, you can get flooded by water or you can get flooded by fire. You can get flooded by becoming too emotional in the matter, whether that emotion is being maudlin or sentimental or excessively and unreasonably emotional, exaggerated response to the situation that you're in. You just fall down and just lose all of your wherewithal, awareness of the practical nature of the situation, the requirements of the situation. You can do it that way, or you can, it goes the other way. Angry. You get so angry, you just black out. You just black out. You just don't even, you have no idea. Rage, blind with rage, right? That's fire. Either way, you lose your ability to reason systematically. Either way, you lose your ability to do whatever it is you may have had the ability to do to resolve the matter, resolve the situation, survive the situation, solve the problem, but you got flooded or you got fired up. Too much flood, too much fire, it's over. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fire be cool and peace for Abraham, it's a message to the believer to don't lose your cool. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La taghdab, la taghdab." He said, "Don't be angry," but it means, because we read reports where the Prophet got angry, and they could see on his face the intense anger in the situation. What it means is don't act in anger. Don't act in anger. Okay, once the anger comes up, you can be angry. It's natural for you to be angry, but you have to control your anger. It's just like fire. We need fire, but we don't need fire that's out of control. We need fire in an oven. We need fire in a campfire. We need fire as a control for other fires. You know, right? So the bottom line is to self-control. You can't argue or reason systematically. You can't be cool. People love Malcolm and how he dealt with debates with the people who were trying to undermine his position. One reason people like Malcolm, love Malcolm, because Malcolm was cool. He was cool. Did you ever see Malcolm in a debate with somebody, you know, and he lost his cool? He lost his cool. I can think of people, I'm not going to mention their names. These are people who are, whatever, online debaters that's supposed to be real tough, meaning that, and they're not Caucasian, they're not Bilalian. I don't want you, don't try to figure it out. If you already have some idea, you got some idea. The point is that one of them, they went over there to London, and this British Caucasian journalist was bringing up questions and challenges to this person who in America they seem to be unassailable, meaning like they reason so systematically, their rhetoric, and they're so strategic in the way that they argue and all of that, that it's just like, I guess he expected to just walk up in there and do what he does there. And that shows you also the difference in cultures, right? So it's like in one culture, you might be, you know, let me use this language, a beast. You might be a beast in your culture. But when you go over to another culture and then somebody who has a different frame of reference, a different perspective, and therefore a different set of tools and a different set of questions and a different way of responding to it, you might be out of your league. And that's what happened with this person. I mean, he looked like a child in diapers by the time this journalist got there. In fact, the person, you know, those people that, I'm done with this interview, right? You take off the mic and walk off the set. It's like, and the very thing that the journalist was challenging him on, not in any vicious kind of, he was challenging him in the British way. The British, you know, what is that? It's a Winston Churchill T-shirt you see all the time. Whatever. Stay calm and keep fighting or something like that. I don't know what it is. But the idea is, it's like, no matter what's happening, don't lose your cool. It's the whole stiff upper lip kind of orientation. And that's the attitude that that person took with him. And so the point is, all the heat was going back to that person. And that person couldn't handle the heat. He couldn't handle the questions. He couldn't handle the interview. He lost his voice. I don't know if he has been able to, salvage his reputation. But that one right there, that's in the history books. You look like a modeling spoiled brat. Why? You lost your cool. Even if you could have kept your cool in the situation, you might have got out of there a little bit better, but no. So what happened? The point is that when you lose your cool, you lose the ability to reason systematically. And this is why those who don't have as much knowledge as you, sometimes they will, quote unquote, hit you below the belt, you know, bite your ear, you know, to get you to lose your form. And when you lose your form, then you lose the battle. So keep that in mind. That's the way of Abraham. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So I want to read a little bit from Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah. Sorry, I didn't make a note of which lecture this is from. But it's about the brazen serpent. The brazen serpent. And he's talking about Moses and that story in the Bible where it says, as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be raised up. So this is what he's talking about, giving us an interpretation of its meaning. The Imam says, so Moses devised a trick to shame his argumentative people. The people that were walking in the Exodus with Moses, they were just full of arguments. He formed a brazen serpent and raised it up on a pole, upon a stick. And also, let me say this. You have the caduceus. I'll attempt the spelling. You look it up. C-A-D-U-S-E-U-S. And it's the medical, the medical symbol where you have the rod, which is like Moses' rod, and then the serpent entwining it. That's a sign of what's there, because that was how the healing came. It's another way of how you see other people's knowledge is preserved in the culture, in the icons, in the symbols, in the fables, in the myths, in the stories, in the scriptures, in the narratives, et cetera. And if you are not taught how to read those signs, symbols, et cetera, you are walking around blind and illiterate, culturally illiterate. And I don't mean it in the E.D. Hirsch sense of it. That's a whole nother argument. Educators know what I'm talking about. But in the context of this society, as the Imam points out to us, it's like the riddle of the Sphinx. In order for you to get into the city, you had to answer the riddle of the Sphinx. And if you couldn't answer the riddle of the Sphinx, then you couldn't enter into the city. And I won't go through all that. I only will say to recognize, very important, and inshallah, if not tomorrow, in one of our upcoming addresses, we're going to speak more to it. You know, this society is based on the wisdom and the knowledge of Egypt. And all you got to do is look at Washington, D.C., all those. That Abraham Lincoln monument, that's nothing but a pharaonic monument, right? The obelisk, very clearly, Egyptian monument. And so many other, the dollar sign with the pyramids, That's Pharaoh. This society, the elite of this society, they worship Pharaoh. So Pharaoh had it going on. And understand this. Don't think that they didn't like the power that was shown by Hitler as well. Two words, Operation Paperclip. Look that up. You don't know that. The point is that don't power elite and the power holders will not use whatever worked in the past and preserve whatever worked in the past, National Treasure, Nicolas Cage, for the purpose of maintaining their society. Oh, man, Hitler had some good stuff, man. He just didn't handle his business right. He needed to be a little more cool about what he was doing. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring over some of the guys that really made that operation work, and we're going to put them into our operations, and maybe we can get our game tight using some of Hitler's wisdom. Trust that. And Hitler was following the one who followed Pharaoh before him and the one who followed the Egyptians before him, et cetera, et cetera. That's the world that we live in. Right now. So I'm only saying that's just that the caduceus, the serpent on the pole, is a retention of that same kind of knowledge that in so many other places are hidden, but present, hidden to those who have been educated, but present to those who understand it and have been taught how to be symbolically literate in this culture that's constructed on that ancient wisdom. MashaAllah. Much temptation to go more on that. I'll just mention the word Samiri, the whole story of what we're talking about and the present issue, whatever, let's call it revolt, resistance, or whatever that's right now. No, I'm not going to say it. It's Samiri at work. It's the Samiri at work. All right, read on. So Moses devised a trick to shame the argumentative people. He formed a brazen serpent and raised it up on a pole, up on a stick. And the Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. What was that serpent raised up for? As a reminder to those argumentative people. See, the point is, you have to know how to argue without being argumentative. How do you know if you're argumentative? Well, how often do you argue? How often do you argue? Whatever. How many times when you encounter someone or something do you find yourself arguing? Are you always arguing with your husband? Are you always arguing with your wife? Are you always arguing with a team member? Are you arguing with your boss? Are you arguing with the television? Are you arguing with the internet? You know, it's just, yeah, look what they're doing. You just might be argumentative. All right. As a reminder to those argumentative ones following Moses in the Exodus, and just in case you don't know, we are still in the Exodus. Not enough of us have gotten out of the wilderness yet. MashaAllah. As we said, the Nation of Islam lost in the wilderness of North America. MashaAllah. The story says that he raised that brazen serpent up as a sign to them. And it says that when any man would look on that sign, he would become healed. That's why it's still a sign of healing, right? He would be healed. Healed of what? The incident before that tells you what the problem was. They were just argumentative. So I want you to understand. When you see someone, it's like, here they come. And I know before we separate, we're going to have an argument. Why? Because that's who they are. They are argumentative. They can't help it. That's when we have to start looking at and understanding the nature of the jinn. When you understand the nature of the jinn is hot. The jinn he created, Allah said, he created the jinn from a fire free from smoke. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our jinn can be made cool. Ask Suleiman. Suleiman, he had a big jinn, ifrit of the jinn, a big jinn. So you know that jinn had fire. But that jinn was cool. Suleiman had that jinn cool. And Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there's not a one of you, a child of Adam, or a son of Adam, or children of Adam, but that you have a jinn attached to you. But you have to tell your jinn, be cool. You use the heat from the gin just like you use the heat from the stove, from the oven, for the barbecue pit, or what have you. I use the heat the way I want to use the heat. Because if you don't control that heat, it's going to burn the house down. Which house? Your house. Your dome is going to be burned down. Why? Because your jinn is out of control. And what? So then it says, it talks about brass, the imam. He speaks about brass. He says, what is brass? And what is brazen? Brazen means brass, doesn't it? In the scripture, what is the meaning of brass? It says brass, the imam speaks. He says brass is a metal that can't take a lot of heat. Brass is a metal that can't take a lot of heat. Too much heat destroys the quality of the brass. It becomes, I think, what they call it, tinkling brass. I think it's called. It's something like that. He's speaking of the Bible. It's called tinkling brass, something like that, meaning dead brass. That's what it is. It becomes dead. You see, brass rings when it's healthy. When it has, when it's healthy, when it has, when it has its quality, it rings. When it has its quality, it rings. But if you put too much heat to brass, it will get dark and burnish, and when you strike it, it won't ring. You can see in those, those Cleopatra type movies, when they strike that symbol or whatever. So it's like that's that ringing sound, right? It has that ring to it when it's made and shaped just right, right? But if you put too much heat to brass, it will get dark and burnish, and when you strike it, it won't ring. It makes no ring. What does God say in the Quran? They say that God made man from clay, and God says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also sounding clay, one with a ring. It means he made man not only obedient, but he also made him expressive. So what was Moses teaching his people? That is, if you become hot-headed, hothead, right? If you become hot-headed, if you stay hot-headed, it means like you got a fever. Mashallah, you hot-headed all the time. You're running a fever, and it's not coronavirus. You're running a fever because that's your orientation. That's your temperament. Don't be that. Be cool. Control it. When you control, even when you feel it coming up, that's the time to practice. No, you have to practice self-control. So what was Moses teaching his people? That if you become hot-headed, and you stay hot-headed, and you want to get all fired up and argue with me, that's a part of what's going on in these streets right now. Yeah, man, we got to do something. I'm not against change. I'm not against what has to be done. But you have to reason systematically. You have to act strategically. Don't just go out burning stuff up. Because that's exactly what Shaitan wants you to do, burn stuff up. And the reasoning that comes behind it is that, yeah, man, I hear you. I feel you, man. Okay. After the fire cools down, what you got? I have a little more latitude on Saturdays, so I'm going to leave that alone. So, and the hotter headed you get, the less sense you got. Intelligently. And in that, meaning you won't be able to behave morally and intelligently, you lose the fine quality of expression. That's what he was teaching them. Stop letting your passions burn out the quality of your intelligence. Now, that's a bumper sticker. That's a bumper sticker right there. I'll read it again. Stop letting your passions burn out the quality of your intelligence. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come and save us from the chastisement of the famine. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah. So fire be cool and peace for Abraham. Abraham is what it's all about. Abraham and his capacity for arguing is a sign for our guidance to say, learn how to reason systematically, and also don't be angry to the extent that you lose your ability to reason systematically, that you burn out your intelligent qualities because you're just being argumentative and you're not being reasonable. Even for us as Muslims, Quran tells us that one of the sins, one of the things that Allah forbids is trespasses against truth and reason. Trespass, it's a sin for a Muslim to be unreasonable. Somebody brings you something that's reasonable, or they try to reason with you. Oh, I ain't trying to hear that. What happened? What happened to salam? What happened to it? Did we say assalamu alaikum when we came to each other? Assalamu alaikum. To keep things cool is an obligation on you. Yeah, I'm taking a little liberty with the translation. To keep things cool is an obligation on you, because when you're at peace, are you not cool? To keep things cool is an obligation on you. Well, yeah, and to keep things cool is an obligation on you too. All right? So come, let us reason together. What is it that we have to talk about? Listen, even between husband and wives, if not especially so, between husband and wife, those things that we call arguments, in reality, if we can just get past the passion, get past the heat, okay, and recognize, don't call it an argument. It's a negotiation. That's what it is. It's a negotiation. Feels like an argument, and that's what we call them. But if whoever has the ability to, okay, wait. You know, it's sort of like in those movies where you freeze. You freeze the moment, and then the character steps out of that frozen moment, and then they say, okay, here we are having an argument again. But since I know that an argument is not an argument in the way that I've been understanding argument, since I know that argument is actually a negotiation, I need to take a deep breath and ask myself, yes, in the midst of this, ask myself, well, what is it that we're actually negotiating? Okay, it's an argument, but what are we negotiating? Meaning like, okay, even like the argument with Abraham and the people. What are we actually negotiating? Take down these idols. His people are saying, no, we're going to keep the idols. Okay, so therefore we're arguing, but that's what we're negotiating, to remove the idols or to maintain the idols. Okay, well, so it is with us when we're with our, in my example, husband and wife. Okay, now stop. What are we arguing about? Are you going to take out the garbage or are you not going to take out the garbage? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I know that's a very simple example, but I think there have been arguments about taking out the garbage between husband and wives too. Point is that once you decide and you think about that negotiation and you look at your position in relationship to that, put God number one in it all and say, okay, now if I'm having this quote unquote argument, I'm doing this negotiation in the presence of God, then Ihsan says, act as though you are seeing God, because even though you won't see him, he's seeing you. So you ask yourself about your argument. Now, would God approve of my position? I don't care. I ain't thinking about God. No, you wouldn't say that outright. But if you don't stop and you follow your passions anyway, despite the fact that you should be thinking about Allah, if you think about Allah, you'll get cool right away. Ask Omar. Omar, quote unquote, could have been called a hothead, especially before, and in some cases, after he had some hothead moments. Omar, but whenever the revelation was brought to his attention, Omar changed his tune, you might say. No, from the very beginning, as soon as he heard the revelation, as soon as he recognized God in the matter, he's done. So we need to take an example from Omar, because if someone could be said to be someone who's always carrying heat, it's going to be Omar. But what did he do? When the revelation was brought, he was cool. Okay, so that's an example for us. Be cool. Refer your choices of words and action and behavior. Evaluate it as though Allah is al-Raqib, the supervisor over you. Evaluate it as though Allah is watching you. What are you arguing about? What would Allah say about one who says they believe in him arguing about this or in that way? And in fact, one of the signs of a hypocrite, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that, and when he argues, he abuses. If you find yourself being abusive or being abused by someone, quote unquote, in an argument, but of course now you got to remember the contribution you make to it. But in any case, the point is that you definitely don't want to be able to have that label put appropriately to you because you have demonstrably been abusive in this particular, quote unquote, argument. All these things are things to tell us about being cool, and maybe we'll elaborate on a little more detail at the next opportunity. So last thing we'll say today, inshallah, is going back to 365, 66, and we spent considerable time on it, but this is the beginning of a listing of modalities for arguing and when to and when not to. In 365 and 66, that is Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran, and it was the verse, I'll just read an expression of it. It says, O people of Scripture, why do you argue about Abraham while the Torah and the Gospel were not revealed until after him? Then will you not reason? There again, God is telling you. In the other verse, the set of verses about the idols, it ends also, don't you have intellects? So again, this is again reinforcing the idea that Abraham is about intellect. Abraham is about reasoning. Abraham is about reasoning systematically. Abraham is about arguing but being cool as you do it. So he said, you argue, Abraham, will you not then reason? And 66 of Surah Ali Imran said, here you are. God is telling them, look at you. Here you are, those who have argued about that which you have some knowledge. You have little knowledge about the scripture before, but why are you arguing about that which you have no knowledge? That's another thing that God is telling us. If you argue, make sure you're arguing about something that you know about. It's stupid to argue, and you don't even know. What you're not just what you're arguing about, the subject, whatever. The subject can be, I don't know, whatever, anything, quantum physics. I'm just saying something that comes to mind. And you're going to argue about, hey, ain't no such thing as quantum physics. Quantum physics, man, that's a lie, man. That's something else a white man that told you, bro. He's like, you let that go, man. Get with the black man's knowledge, whatever. It's like, what you know about quantum physics? You know what I'm saying? You don't know nothing about quantum physics. You want to tell me that it ain't no such thing? Yeah, I said ain't no such thing. They're like, no. Don't argue about things that you don't have any knowledge about. You have to admit that. Because it says it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open up your mouth and to remove all doubt. It's like, hey, man, if you don't know anything about something, just confess. I don't know anything about something, so I don't have no argument for that. So it doesn't mean you can't find out, but the Muslim is being told, don't argue about that which you have no knowledge, okay? And so this arguing, this in 365-66, is telling us about arguing with and not arguing with those without knowledge. Why is that important? First off, you don't want to waste your time arguing with people who don't know what they or you are talking about. Why would you waste your life and time arguing with? So don't do that. Don't argue with people who don't know what they are talking about and they don't know what you're talking about. What are you arguing for? So don't do that. The other side of it is only people of equal knowledge argue. Find somebody in an argument, their knowledge is equal. That's why it's an argument. If someone has superior knowledge, end of the argument. Now, if someone has superior knowledge, another point is made, a way of a little a little anecdote that's used to shoo people away from that behavior, argue with people who don't know. It said a fool and a wise man met at a corner, and they began to argue, and then when I arrived, I couldn't tell which one was the fool and which one was the wise man. So it's like both of them arguing with each other. I can't tell which one is the wise man, which one is the fool. Why? Because only people of equal knowledge argue. If you find yourself arguing with someone, it's because you don't know any more about the subject than they do. And even if you do know more about them than they do, you don't have sense enough not to argue with them. And so you put yourself on the same level as them by arguing with them about things that they have no knowledge of. But by your arguing with them, you are elevating them and diminishing yourself. You're arguing about something that they don't have any knowledge of, but because you're arguing, you have elevated their ignorance to equivalence with your quote-unquote knowledge. But your knowledge is lost in the argument. So don't argue with people who don't know. Just let them be where they are. And we can do that. That's one of the clear steps to the truth and also being saved from our own selves. Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We beg you to continue your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. Allah, bless us to learn how to put you first. Bless us to learn how to bring you into all circumstances that we are faced with in life. Bless us never to ignore the value, the role of faith in you. Bless us to understand that we can't, we have no existence without you, and we cannot achieve peace without you. We cannot achieve success without you. We cannot be guided to the straight path but by you. We pray, Allah, that you bless us to know what it is that we know and to understand what it is you would have us to understand and to bless us to follow those in the ways that you would have us follow and live in this world. And bless us to learn to depend only on you to guide our king and our feeling and our spirit and our attitude and our temperament. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Show us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless us to know how to submit our wills and ourselves completely and totally to you. Bless us to domesticate our passions. Bless us to submit our urges and interests only to what you would have us be submitted to and following. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Wa aqim as-salat.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
ربنا ولك الحمد
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمدا
ربنا ولك الحمد
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين الحمد لله تقبل الله
منا ومنكم
شكرا شكرا السلام عليكم السلام عليكم بلوتو